Just turn to those texts that we were looking at. Now, some of you will know we've gone towards lectionary-based readings, which basically means that the scriptures that we read Sunday by Sunday are not set by me. They come out of a prayer book. And so you may have thought those texts were a little bit inappropriate for a celebratory anniversary weekend. And as I read them, I thought, wow. And we're not always going to be tied to lectionaries. And I thought, do I change these or don't I? And the thing about having a set reading is, you know, sometimes you get challenged because you have to deal with the bits of the Bible that you wouldn't otherwise deal with. And, you know, as I read those two texts, and they're really strong texts, I kind of said, God, are you saying something to us in these texts as a community of God's people? And do I have to get up there and grapple with these texts on our anniversary and listen to the challenge of God's word? And I've opted to do that. So you can tell me later that you thought it was completely inappropriate and next time change them. That's fine. The first text that we had was based in Numbers, and it basically was to do with negative confession, a failure to realize what God was doing and profess something totally different from what God was doing. You could entitle it, "Be Careful What You Wish For," because the spies had gone into the land and they had come back and 10 of them said, "It's terrible, it's drastic, nothing's ever going to happen, we're going to get wiped out, it's all despair and gloom." 2 said, "No, God is bigger than the situation and he can work." Tragically, the people listened to the negative report. It raises a really interesting question about what are we professing and proclaiming that God is going to do? You know, is it all doom and gloom? Is it, the church is declining, we're losing the moral arguments, we're becoming less and less relevant? Or do we believe that God can actually work and transform the world in which we live? And what are we professing? What are we saying as a community of God's people? What are we saying about the life of this church and what it can do? I remember I was once in Amsterdam. In fact, it was the first time I was given a leadership role. And I think I was 18 years of age. And I was asked to lead a team of Americans who were flying in from Oral Roberts University in the middle of America. It's considered the buckle of the Bible Belt. And these guys, some of them had never been out of the U.S. And they all came to Amsterdam. And if you know anything about Oral Roberts University, it's all about positive confession. So essentially, you have to make sure that you confess positively all of the time. And me being Scottish, this is kind of alien. They ended up camping. And one morning I got up and we were on a campsite and I looked at the sky and I said, "It looks like it's going to rain." Anyway, we then received in the next 2 days the heaviest rainfall that Amsterdam had had in 50 years. We were wiped out. Our campsite was flooded and everything. And the guys from Oral Roberts turned around and they said, "You caused this." And we had theological discussion about it. But you see, I professed negatively and I'd spoken into being this weather. By the way, I don't agree with their theology. We had an interesting discussion about it. But it was an interesting thought, and I've never escaped from these guys in terms of what are we looking for God to do, and what are we saying God is going to do? Because it is a reflection on our God. And God here puts a very definite warning to the children of Israel. He says, "You guys did not appreciate what I was doing, and you never moved with the Spirit as I was working. And it was reflected in what you were saying and professing about what God could do." What are we saying about what God can do in Stirling? What are we saying about what God can do through the life of this church? What are we saying that God can do in your life and in the lives of your family? God requires us to recognize who he is. Jesus in Luke develops this similar theme. He begins by talking about the kingdom of God. And he actually says that the kingdom of God is like a purging fire. I don't think he was referring to judgment. Some commentaries think he was. I think he was picking up on the idea of this sense of a purging, purifying, transforming phenomenon. The idea of the Spirit as the fire of God. Because when fire comes, it transforms everything. You'll know if you've got open fires in your house, you get the smell of smoke on you. It clings to you. But fire transforms it. And he's saying, God, there is a transforming power that is going to be released. And he said, I yearn to see the transforming power of God at work. How many of us want to see that? You know, that transforming power of God at work. He says, I yearn for it. It can't come quick enough. But he says, I have to undergo a baptism. He was making direct reference, I think, to his death and resurrection and equating it with baptism. And what he was saying was, my death and resurrection is going to inaugurate this transforming fire that will be released into the world. And we will see God transforming things because of my death and resurrection. And then he goes on to talk about what will happen in terms of family. And he says, but you need to understand something. There is a cost. You know, I talked last week about the kingdom of God. And we looked at a couple of parables that Jesus had where he talks about the kingdom of God like a mustard seed or like yeast. And he said it has the most amazing potential, the kingdom of God. It can transform things in ways you cannot imagine. And then Jesus said, but if you're going to have to see the kingdom of God at work, you're going to see this transforming power of God. You have to go through the narrow gate. I don't believe he was referring to the numbers of people who will be saved in the way it's been interpreted. I think what he was saying was, because at the end of it, he talks about the people coming from the east and the west and the north and the south to enjoy the kingdom of God, a very inclusive analogy. But what he was saying was, if you are going to see the kingdom of God, if you are going to see the transforming power of God at work, it is tough. It costs. You know, in our day and age, we kind of want everything instantly. And maybe I'm reflecting my age here, but you know, if something doesn't work the first time or something doesn't go great and everything instantaneously falls into place, we're like, oh, well, let's give up. You know, it's not going our way. Things are not great. But Jesus is teaching, and here I think, again, he's reiterating it at the end of Luke 12, as he did at the beginning, is that it costs to see God at work. The coming of God's kingdom is never easy. If you actually think, and you know, I love services where we celebrate all that God does, but don't believe that somehow it's easy. It's not easy for SBC. It's not easy for us as we live out our Christian life. It's not easy. And maybe we feel slightly more successful than, you know, some other church. But let me assure you, it is still tough. And if we're going to see God's kingdom come, you know, I'd love to stand up here and say, stick with us and it's going to be amazing and your life's going to be great and you'll just see phenomenal things happen. I believe we will. But that will come at a cost. Jesus said and describes the cost in terms of family. Family was the most cherished thing in the ancient Near East. And here he is saying that actually, standing for something other than what others stand for is going to cost you. And it's actually going to cost you something that is most fundamental. Jesus did not want to break up the family. But he's saying, ultimately, there is a cost. And I think people who are willing to pay that cost, whenever I've met them, and we've been talking about Pam and Paul, they're paying an incredible cost for their faith at the moment. And there are people in places like northern Iraq, in places like Mosul, which is the center of the Christian community in Iraq, which has now come under the most severe form of Islamic control, people are dying for their faith. And whenever you meet people like that, you know something? They really believe. They really believe. One of the problems I think we have as a community, maybe as SBC, but certainly in a 21st century context, is I just don't know how much we really believe. You know, I at the first sign of things not going right, we all go grumbly. At the first sign of things not going right, we say, let's give up. And we don't say, we have a God who is bigger than this situation. We have a God who is a transforming fire, who is working through his Spirit because Christ has died and risen again. And we can see God's work. But we have to press on and we have to persevere. And if we do that, if we are a persistent people, we will see God's kingdom coming. I actually think we all want God's kingdom to come in way too easy ways. Some of you may have been party to various charismatic movements I have in my life. And you know, there were sometimes tendencies in some of the charismatic situations to think that we just need to pray once for you, and then all of your issues and everything is going to be resolved. How many people have found that as an experience? That's good, Shona. For the majority of us, it doesn't happen that way. But how many of us have known the transforming power of God in our lives as we've persevered and persisted and we've seen God turn things around? You know, SBC has done 209 years because people have persisted, not because it has been easy. They've had 209 years of growing as a church because people have believed their God and they have seen situations in their own lives, in the lives of their families, in the life of their society, in the life of their church, and they've proclaimed God is great and God can move and transform the situation. They positively confessed. You know, Jesus in Luke chapter 12, he actually gives an image of the kingdom of God like a mighty empire that envelops all the nations of the world. You know, he was saying that to a bunch of fishermen who were kind of thinking, we're going to get killed by the Roman authorities at any moment. And he said, we're going to be like a mighty kingdom with all the nations of the world. Rome is now a long distant memory, but the Christian church is still at work throughout the world. Second thing that we see Jesus going on to talk about then is not only the cost, but he also talks about the awareness. He says, you need to be aware of what God is doing. He said, you can read the weather forecast. I remember my grandmother, she taught me, red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning, red sky at night, shepherd's delight. And some of us still live by that and go and play golf based on what happens at night. But it's not always that reliable. But Jesus is saying, you guys can read the signs that dictate the weather. But you don't understand what God is doing. I was talking to a painter this week. I mean, we were having a conversation, not a Christian. Obviously, he knew I was a minister, so he started to talk about spiritual things that tends to happen when people find out I'm a minister. And he said to me, you know, I have a real sense of someone looking after me and directing and guiding my life. And, you know, as I talked to this painter, he'd just been in the process of painting a mosque and then was about to go and paint a spiritualist church. So he was certainly getting his fill of religious experiences. I thought, you have a greater sense of God at work in your life than so many Christians that I meet. A sense that God is active in your life. See, the essence of the church is that we are a called out community of God's people. We've lost this sense of calling, that God has called us out, but he's called us out to witness to his reality. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 through 10 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What it's saying is God has called you out. He's actually chosen and he's working through you. And many of us as Christians have got dislocated. We've got secularized in our thinking. We've lost the sense of God's calling on our lives, that he has called us out and he is working through us. The church here at SBC is called out by God, and God is seeking to work through us. What Jesus is saying is, get smart and recognize what God is doing. He tells a wee parable. Some people think it gives us a bad image of God. But basically he says, if you're getting dragged to court by somebody, He says, go for the out-of-court settlement. Because if you get to court and you don't, then you're going to end up in jail and you're not getting out until you've paid every last farthing it would have been. But Jesus is saying, get smart. Understand that God has put a calling on your life and he's anticipating working through you. And start working with God. As a church, we're not called to sit back on our successes. We're not called to have an easy life. I wish we were. But we are called to be true to the calling that God has placed in our life and to understand that there is a new work of God's Spirit. You know, one of the things that I'm so acutely aware of is that I believe that God wants to do a brand new thing. And there's an exciting possibility spiritually in our nation. And I actually think we're on the edge of something that God wants to do. But we will only be able to do it if we understand that God is working through us and has called us. And that we are willing to pay the cost of that calling. God wants SBC to last for another 209 years. Or if he returns before that, maybe. But he wants a people who understand what he can do, who are committed to seeing him do it, and are willing to pay the cost of their calling to be a witnessing, spirit-filled community. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have called us as a people to be a witnessing community. Lord, I thank you that you are working through us. I thank you that we serve the creator of the universe. I thank you that the most incredible transforming power is present and at work in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us not give up easily. I pray that you would help us to persevere in the face of resistance and opposition. I pray that you would give us a deep sense of that calling that you have placed on everyone's life so that we would truly witness to the way that you are working in our world. Lord, I ask this in your name. Amen.